Okay. So, Michael, you got back from Egypt not recently, but sort of recently, and now all this turmoil is happening there. Tell us a little why you went there, what you got out of it, how it was as an experience. What was the whole trip to Egypt all about that you went on?
Well, the reason I went over, the catalyst for it was I had a friend that was doing AIDS work in Tanzania for 5 months. And she had a week off, and we thought we'd meet in Egypt and spend the week in Egypt. So that's why I went, and who doesn't want to go see the pyramids, right?
Nice.
So, we went, I think I landed on September 11th, and was there, for pretty much exactly a week.
So you flew out from San Francisco, presumably?
Yes.
And what, San Francisco to New York, to New York to New York to Cairo?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's pretty direct, huh?
Yeah, it was.
You weren't like stuck in Atlanta for 4 hours and then mm-hmm. in Reykjavik or whatever.
Reykjavik. No, it was San Francisco to New York, New York to Cairo. And then on the way back, it was a little bit more. I had to stop in Salt Lake City, but...
And you didn't have your Kindle at the time, did you?
I didn't.
So you had to read big, heavy, regular books, probably.
I packed so lightly, I didn't have
That's
any
smart,
books.
Yeah. So did you just sleep, or how did you organize that with all that time in the air?
Well, I did bring a travel guide to Egypt that I read and read about. I was really nervous about going to my first Muslim country and being just two women alone there, which obviously is not recommended. And so I was just reading about... just really getting into my head what I needed to do and how I needed to act and everything like that.
Cool. Now, had you been outside of the United States before?
Yeah, but just to the United Kingdom.
Okay.
So this was my first real foreign trip, you know?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, exactly, right. And did you pick up any, did you bother to sort of, I guess, did the travel guide give you a handful of phonetically pronounce how to get to the bathroom? Thank you. Please don't decapitate me.
I learned a couple words. Just thank you and no thank you. I didn't. They all speak English to some extent, not much.
Yeah.
But enough to get what you need. I don't think I only ended up using maybe one Arabic word.
Oh wow.
And that was about it.
So you get there. You land.
Mm-hmm.
You get out of the airport. Where do you go? What do you see? What do you experience? What's the whole thing like?
Well, we land, and there's a driver to pick me up from the hostel, and his name is Ahmed, as about 50% of the men in Egypt are, or any Muslim country, and he drives me to the hostel. He drives about twice the speed limit. I believe it was 60 kilometers per hour. He's going, I know, at least 120. There are no road rules. He drifts in and out of lines. There are no lines. They just sort of, and if they think they're going to hit someone, they honk. Like, honking is this automatic protection against hitting anything.
Mm.
They don't stop for pedestrians. They don't stop for anything.
Wow, you must have felt like the President of the United States or something there, huh? Like, it's not that important that I get there that quickly.
That's just how they drive. Yeah. Even without anyone in the car, they would drive that way.
Oh my gosh. It was more like Ben-Hur.
We get to the hostel, and it's the fourth and fifth story of a building. So, we go up this one of those rickety elevators. You see where you have the two doors that shut. You've got to shut the outside metal door and then the inside wooden doors
and then
push a button and you see the cables go up and, really...
No, I just want to take the stairs at that point.
Yeah. We get our, I was there alone at this point. My friend, I think I arrived around 5 and my friend wasn't arriving until midnight.
Okay.
And, so it was a fairly nice hostel and,
so you had arranged all of this before? You just, like, found some... You Googled, like, it, like Egypt hostels, American student, whatever, or something?
Yeah, we used hostelworld.com.
Ah.
And it was one of the highest rated for Cairo. And I also cross-referenced Lonely Planet, which was the guide.
The travel guide, yeah.
It was cool because it was right next to a mosque. Mm-hmm. So you could hear
the big circle.
Yeah.
The architecture. I'll be interested to what you think about all that nifty. You posted quite a few pictures on Facebook, and I thought that was cool. That was nice for me to be able to like look at that and say like, oh, that's what that place looks like to when a person's actually there. You know.
Yeah, it was quite an experience, and all the guys are very charming. You know, they all have their phrases, walk like an Egyptian, or. You know, something like that. But my friend was blonde.
Yeah.
So she garnered most of the attention.
Ah.
And so when she came, it was like, oh my gosh, your friend is beautiful. And...
I don't know what the big deal with blondes is.
Well, they don't have blondes.
No, I understand that for them. I think maybe we're spoiled as Americans, and we're kind of like, we're over blondes here. You know? Kind of bored with blondes at this point, you know?
Yeah.
not over there.
Yeah.
The first real day, our driver, Ahmed, took us to... I think we saw 9 pyramids.
Oh, nifty.
Yeah.
Now, this is the thing I've always been curious about, and this is one of the few reasons where... Well, that and awesome jazz, but... I feel like I should have been born like about another like 80 years ago because if I were going to go to a place like Egypt or something, I'd want to be able to like just quietly do my own thing and just wander around in the ruins, which you probably can't get like within like 50 yards of this stuff at this point.
Yeah, there was one pyramid we were allowed to go inside. It was a smaller pyramid.
You got a gift shop in there and everything.
I didn't go inside because I'm claustrophobic, but my friend went inside.
You're that claustrophobic?
Because it's this room at the bottom and this little narrow hallway down, and you have to crouch the entire way. You can't stand up straight in that hallway.
Mm. How far is the hallway?
I don't know. It's all the way down to the bottom.
Like 10 feet or like 20 feet?
No. I'm trying to remember how big the pyramid was. It would have been like 50, I would think.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And she said even she was having a hard time by the end of it. She was like, when are we going to get to this room? And I just waited outside with the little guy that was guarding the entryway. Then we saw the oldest pyramid, which is the step pyramid.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
That was pretty...
Now, is that step because the limestone was removed to build Cairo? To build the city? Because they used to have limestone on all these pyramids, right? And they were all smooth and cool, mm-hmm. and then they basically took the limestone and used it to build the city at some point?
I don't know about the step pyramid, though, because I think it's always had that structure.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure about
But that's that. Considered one of the oldest ones.
It is considered the oldest.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
And that's in Giza, or...?
No. The Great Pyramids.
Okay.
The three big guys are in Giza.
Okay. And how far from Cairo is that?
It's not far. I think it was a 20-minute drive.
Oh, that's nothing, yeah.
Going his feet.
Yeah.
Cool. But yeah, there were actually, now that I think about it, I think we must have seen 12 pyramids because there were 9 alone at Giza.
Yeah.
There were the 3 great and then the 6 little. And then, of course, the Sphinx, which is tiny.
And very old, right?
Yeah, I think that was probably, and I read this in the guide, but, you know, I thought, oh, what do they know? You know, there are these seasoned travelers. Yeah. I'm not, so I'm going to enjoy the pyramids, but I think it was actually my least favorite of it all.
The Sphinx?
The Sphinx, yeah.
It was just unremarkable, like, or something?
It is unremarkable. It's small, and there are a lot of people. A lot of people, all these people selling stuff along the base of it.
Yeah.
You know? And it was like, we went down there, looked at it, and went back.
Small, like, in what sense? Like, how big is it actually?
It's as tall as this building.
So it's like a 3-story building.
Yeah.
3 or 4-story building. And how? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and it's not big at all. We did ride camels.
Nice. Two hump or one?
You know, I'm not sure. Because the saddle was on it. So one hump, I'm assuming. Okay. I would notice if it were two. But yeah, we got camels and we rode out to look at the Great Pyramids.
Nice.
And that was...
Was it like, was the sun setting and all that stuff happening?
No, it was morning. Well, morning. It was around like 11.
Yeah, yeah.
It was me and my friend, and then we had a little guide on a horse. He offered me, you know, 3 camels for my sister, things like that. You know, they're all very charming and cute.
Yeah, yeah.
For the first day. And I think the most interesting part about that was he took us to this point where we took all the touristy pictures, you know, jump over the pyramids. Yeah. And these two policemen came up to us and asked where we were from. And my friend said, California. And our guide said, what did I tell you? I said, don't talk to anyone. And he sends us on our way.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're riding our camels, and he's back there like,
with the cops?
With the cops arguing about something. Well, they always sound like they're arguing whenever they talk. They sound like they're yelling. But they were... And then finally he comes out to us and he says, don't talk to anyone. Not even the policeman. Don't talk to anyone. And so we're like, ooh.
Yeah, now maybe we're starting to get that sense. Yeah. Yeah, the cops might not be the best people around when it comes to there.
No, and we definitely got that sense throughout the trip that the cops are not someone we're going to go to for help.
Yeah.
So,
sounds like the hostel situation is pretty well taken care of, though. So, you know, you might have somebody there that you could have...
Yeah. They were really nice. They're all young, you know, our age.
Young, hip people.
Yeah. They organized everything, and everything's really cheap. Like, 1 Egyptian pound is worth 20 cents. It was...
That's their currency? It's pounds?
Yeah, it's Egyptian pounds. I didn't know that. Yeah. So, like, one night at the hotel, or the hostel, was, you know, $9 or something like that.
Oh my gosh, wow.
Yeah. But they... So that was our first day. It was just seeing the pyramids and everything. And then they organized it for us to go down to Luxor, which is in about the middle of Egypt. Cairo's up north.
Yeah.
Luxor's in the middle. And we took a night train and went down to Luxor. Yeah, we had to sleep on the train, had the pop-out beds.
Oh, my gosh.
It was cool.
And, like, did you, like, have the little window so you could, like, look out and see, like, night Egypt?
Mm-hmm. Although...
While you're on a train at night.
Yeah. You can't see much because it was mostly just palm trees and whatnot, you know. But, yeah.
Yeah, but how were the skies the whole time you were there? How was the weather?
Sunny.
So, sunny skies and then nice, big, clear, giant, starry nights kind of
thing? Yeah. Honestly, it was so warm there.
Yeah, hot, yeah.
That we were pretty much exhausted by whatever time we got back. So we would usually just go out the first half of the day and come back around like 2 or 3 and not leave the hostel. And one night we went to bed at 8.
Yeah.
We were just so...
Yeah, you're beat, yeah.
Yeah, tired.
That makes sense.
So I don't even think I ever really looked at the stars. And it was a big city, so obviously.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There'd be, like, pollution and stuff, too. Yeah. But that train ride sounds awesome.
Right? Yeah, it was fun.
Did you, like, have a meal in the dining car and everything?
Mm-hmm. Well, no, not in the dining car. They brought one to us.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, a little pull-out table, had a pull-out sink and everything. But, yeah, it was...
That's awesome.
It was fun. And then we arrived in the morning in Luxor, and someone picked us up and took us to a hotel.
Now, is this just the two of you for the most part, or are you part of a larger group once you're in the hostel and they're doing stuff?
It was just the two of us,
okay.
Mostly. I mean, they arrange the trips for everyone.
Yeah.
Like while we were in Luxor, there was this other couple that was also staying at the hostel that was in Luxor at the same time we were.
Mm-hmm.
But
you're doing your own thing.
But we're doing our own thing.
Well, that's kind of cool. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. And so they took us to an actual hotel, which was would be considered a pretty kind of a rundown hotel. It was odd because it looked very ornate, but like they had all these fountains, but there was no water in it. You know, it was just all these empty fountains, and there was a security thing to walk through.
Like a metal detector, like a scanner kind of thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the whole place smelled like pepper. And we went to a couple temples. We went to Luxor Temple and Karnak Temple, which were, I think, the best, because we were in a group. We had a tour guide telling us the history. And he was very knowledgeable. So it was pretty neat. And this is also on the Nile, so you see all these little sailboats on the Nile. They're called feluccas.
Nifty. Feluccas?
Mm-hmm.
And those are the ones that you think of when you think of, like, a sailboat on the Nile, mm-hmm. like, with the one sail.
With the one
It's almost like a glorified canoe, kind of.
Yeah, it's...
That's awesome.
And so that, we saw those in the evening, the temples. And so we got to see the sunset with the feluccas on the Nile.
Oh, man, yeah.
And that was cool. And then the next day we went to... the Valley of the Kings and Valley of the Queens,
nice.
Which is where all the pharaohs are buried. And that's where we saw our oldest temple, which was a woman who made herself pharaoh for a period of time. And I think it was 3,500 years old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's pretty incredible.
Yes, I see stuff like that and be like, there are people walking around here that long ago, people building it. I mean...
Yeah. I couldn't even... When I went to the UK, I think I touched a door that was 900 years old. I was like, I can't believe this is 900 years old. And here I am going, 3,500 years old. Okay.
that's a thing, huh?
Yeah. Those were my favorite, definitely. And seeing, going into the pharaoh's tombs where they would have... The walls were just carved with hieroglyphs and all... these stories and they're painted too, and the paint's still there because they don't allow photography.
In the dark it's somewhat weather.
Yeah.
I mean the kind of weather it's dry for the most part.
Yeah. Sort of thing, yeah. And some of them are just painted with all like the pharaohs and the stories and
you get a pretty good echo in some of those things. Nice little creepy factor there.
Well, they're pretty small and there were a lot of people, so we didn't get too much echo. So Luxor was 2 days, and then we went back up to Cairo because we wanted to spend some time in Cairo. We could have gone further south and seen the Temple of Ramses, which in retrospect would have been better because when we got back to Cairo, the day we got back in the morning because we took a night train again to get back.
Yeah.
And we decided to go... to the Egyptian Museum,
mm-hmm.
which is huge, and it's about a 5-minute walk from our hostel.
That's cool.
So, my friend and I thought maybe we'd go to the mosque, so I was dressed like, you know, I had my head covered, and I was wearing kind of, like, my long pants and shoes, and my shirt went down to here, you know, and sunglasses, but my friend was wearing jeans and a t-shirt, and that was it.
And she didn't cover her... face or whatever?
She didn't cover her head, no. Because we decided not to go to the mosques.
Yeah, okay.
We decided to go to the museum. So she just wore jeans and a t-shirt, and we're walking. And first we get waylaid by this guy who wants us to buy some perfume from him. But then when we finally got back on track, we get to the Egyptian Museum, and you come, and there's a circle where there are all these streets that meet, and then they go around and around about.
Oh my gosh.
And then there's the Egyptian Museum, and it's this big orange building, and we have no idea where the entrance is.
Of course.
So
you went in through the loading dock and then through the kitchen and whatever.
Basically, like we decide to go left instead of right, because why not? Left is the wrong way to go. It was around the back. And
it's usually the wrong way to go in politics and life and everything. little aside there, right?
So we're walking, and there's this businessman who's following us. And
businessman because he's like in a suit and tie and...
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And
following you because he's been following you for a while?
Well, who knows when he's... started. I imagine since we crossed the street, I noticed him. And then obviously when we're in the back of the museum, there's no one there except the little pockets of security guards.
Yeah.
And he's still there.
Hmm.
So he comes up to my friend and he's asking her something. And I can't really understand what he's saying. I get that he's asking her if something's real or not, fake or not. And I thought he was talking about her hair. And so... She tells him that question's inappropriate, and he backs off a little, and then he comes up again, and he grabs her boob.
That was what he was asking, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was.
Well, okay, now in all honesty, is your friend, like, does she have, like, a nice set?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well,
then,
she does.
That was a perfectly reasonable question then, don't you think?
No.
No. Not at all. No. So he basically comes up, he's like, yeah, those real?
Yeah, he basically asked her if they were real or fake, and she told him that was inappropriate. He backs off, comes back, he grabs her boob, and she smacks him away, and he's like, oh, sorry.
No, yeah, sorry, yeah, sorry.
And,
like, oh, different customs, different, like, no.
Oh, I didn't mean to grab your boob.
Yeah.
So he backs off again, and I was like, what just happened? She was like, he was asking, you know, if they were real fake, and just grabbed my boob, and I was like, oh my gosh. So we kind of, he's still back there. So I'm like, let's just keep walking, because at this point we can't turn around, because he's going to be there. We keep walking, and he approaches again, saying, sorry. So I put my arm around her, and I told him, imshi, which means go away in Arabic. And
that's the time you used your Arabic.
That was my one word.
Do you think, like, then you look it up later on, and you're like, it means go away, it also means fuck off, it means...
Because they tell you, if little kids come up to you, to use it, but you're not supposed to use it to an adult.
And you did.
But I did.
But that guy wasn't behaving like an adult.
Exactly,
yeah.
He wasn't being an adult, he was grabbing my friend's
butt. That's awesome.
So he
was embarrassed even further at that point, probably.
And he ran away.
Skedaddled, yeah.
Yeah.
Scram.
Yeah. So,
aren't you the brave one? Now, when you put your arm around her, did you kind of play like, hey, this is my mine. This is mine. don't you? So yeah. That way he would freak out even more, maybe? Yeah.
Well, I also...
Stay off my woman.
I also was dressed in the garb that I was.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had people ask me if I was Muslim when I was dressed like that.
Okay.
And I had my sunglasses on. So he might have listened to me because I looked more the part than she did.
Yeah.
And scrammed.
Friend was asking for it.
I know.
The jeans and the t-shirt. Yeah.
Jeans. How dare she flash those arms?
I know. Yeah, it was the arms that was the problem.
Yeah.
Like, right? Crime.
Animals.
Long story short, next time go to see Ramses.
I know, if only.
So was the museum actually a reasonably pleasant experience after all that was dealt with?
Yeah, I asked her if she wanted to even go to the museum after that, and she said yeah. And it was huge. It's huge. Like, I feel like we ran through it. And we were there for 3 hours.
Oh my gosh.
And there's an entire, I think the neatest part, you have to pay extra to see the mummies.
Mm-hmm.
And it was 60 pounds to get in, and it was 100 pounds to go into this room that had the mummies. So we were like, no.
Yeah.
And you can go into a room and see mummified animals. So we saw a mummified.
Why not? It's a mummy something.
Yeah, exactly. Alligators and whatnot. But there's basically a whole level of King Tut's stuff that they found in his tomb.
Tutankhamun, yes.
Yeah. And there's the locked room with all his jewelry and the famous headpiece and everything. And then everything else on the floor is just all the insane amounts of stuff he had in his tomb.
Nice.
So it was pretty cool, but tiring.
Well, yeah.
3 hours.
On your feet and all that.
Yeah.
Then you still had to get back. You had to run that...
Mm-hmm.
From the gauntlet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Which one guy told us that the only way you can cross is to go out, close your eyes, run, and pray to Allah. And one of the guys in our hostel had said he'd actually been hit like 5 times by a car.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So that was fun.
So what did you do? Run out and jump into it?
Basically, you protect yourself with the natives.
You wait for a large enough group of people. And then you go.
Go, yeah.
Well, that makes sense then. So they don't have traffic lights or anything there then?
They did at that
circle, yeah.
Oh, I was amazed they even listened to those traffic lights, but those are the only ones I remember seeing.
Mm.
Yeah. So at that point, we only had 2 days left, and the next day I went out and got us an Australian to walk with us. He was a guy I met the first night when I was waiting for my friend to show up, and it was his last day, so he hadn't planned on doing anything. So he took us, and we went to a mosque, and that was amazing. The architecture was incredible. I mean, it's so ornate,
yeah,
and huge, and yeah, it was pretty incredible.
Now, how is, I mean, like, I haven't really had, I don't have much experience with most religious buildings, but most, I mean, like a Jewish temple or a, mm-hmm. like a church, usually there's pews, there's seats, there's whatnot, but for the way that they pray in Islam is that, you know, they kneel, right? Mm-hmm. So is a mosque mostly open space on the inside then? Just basically like you're going to go do yoga or something. You bring your pad and then you...
Yeah, there's just, it's just open space. I think they had a couple areas in the corners where there were...
Like coffee and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, I think caffeine is verboten.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. Just little spots with little staircases, kind of like you see in a Catholic church, little staircases and a little thing where someone stands, I think, and does the call to prayer.
Ah, or like where they have tennis matches indoors. And
yeah,
they
someone
does they're the rest. They rent it out like as a rec center in the brief periods of time when people aren't in there praying.
Yeah,
which is like, was how they ring a bell, and how many times is it? 3 times a day?
It's more than that.
Yeah, maybe 5.
It was kind of sporadic. I didn't notice that it happened all at the same time.
Oh, okay,
but basically they had speakers throughout the city at every mosque that would have the call of prayer go out across the entire city. That was my favorite part.
Didn't you shoot a little video of that and with mm-hmm. audio and everything?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean the I guess the corollary to that is like the church bells, you know, where it is
right.
it is imposed. I mean, even in a secular society like ours, it is imposed on everybody else's ears to have to deal with the fact that some group of people are doing something, they're making noise about it right now.
You know? Yeah, yeah.
But to have speakers and stuff laid out, yeah, they really do kind of, it's part of their institution, I suppose.
It is. So we did that, and I think that day, it was nice being with the Australian, because it was a stressful trip, and I thought, oh, we're being so American, you know, I can't just adapt to this, but the Australian was like, oh no, when I go home, I'm burning all my clothes. He's like, I'm glad I came, but I'm never coming back again. He told us about the street he walked by, where there's this dead horse in the middle of the street, and they were just walking around it, and we passed over a decomposing cat. And the city was just disgusting. Cairo is a disgusting city. So that was nice to be able to go out with him. And then the last day we were there, we enlisted an Argentinian. And he took us to Old Cairo. And before Cairo was Muslim, it was Christian. So it's actually Old Cairo is the, you know, Christian ghetto, basically.
Yeah.
It's gated.
Oh, interesting.
They keep their 10% population of Christians in this little area, and the churches there are just as ornate as the mosques.
Interesting.
A lot more wood, though. I think the mosques have a lot of stone.
Yeah.
There's a lot more wood, and there are little relics that, so they're interesting because all the vendors speak Spanish in the Coptic Cairo, because I guess they get a lot of like Spanish Catholic people coming to see.
It's the weird history you have to just figure out, you know, like
mm-hmm.
why do they speak Portuguese in Brazil? And it's like, well, you know, that was the way that some king decided that they could go there and
mm-hmm.
not go there.
Yeah. So it's just this one little street with a few churches, one called the Hanging Church, because they built it over a reservoir of water.
Interesting. How does that actually look? How does that play out? Is it like,
it just looks like
a church, like a bridge with a structure on it.
It is, but you can't really see under the bridge.
Okay.
I would say.
So you can't, like, from looking afar, you can't like appreciate that there's a reservoir, or that there's water.
You go inside and then you can look down, and they'll have little holes.
Oh my gosh!
You can see
that's interesting.
The reservoirs there, and there was one synagogue that was interesting because at the synagogue they had a metal detector.
Yeah, of course.
So we went there, and there was a guy manning the metal detector, a little old guy, and he asked us where we were from. We said America, and he said, oh, Christian? And we said, yeah, we're Christian. He's like, good.
Yeah.
And then,
he's like, that'll work.
Yeah, he's like, oh, Christians like Jews, yeah. And then our the guy that was with us from Argentina, he's darker complexion, so he like fit in. And he asked him where he was from, and he said Argentina. And he said, are you Christian? And he goes, no, I'm not Christian. He goes, are you Muslim? And he goes, no, I'm not Muslim. He goes, you're not Christian. And the guy from Argentina's like, no, I don't have a religion. And the guy's like, but you're not Muslim? And so they couldn't comprehend that he didn't have a religion. And then finally the little guy said, are you a friend? And he said, yeah, I'm a friend. So they let him through. But it was like, if he was Muslim, they were going to be like, why are you coming to the synagogue? Are you going to blow it up?
Yeah.
So that was interesting. And then also we went back and looked around some of the little shopping areas, I guess you could say.
Pick up a little bauble or two, a little keepsake.
Yeah, a little bauble. There are these kids in the back playing soccer. The girls wanted their pictures taken with us.
Mm-hmm.
Not with the Argentine. They didn't want him in there.
Yeah.
So that was interesting. That happened to us twice, where the first time it was a girl, and she gestured with her camera. So we were like, oh, you want us to take a picture of you, you know, logically. And then she was like, no, a picture of you. So
I don't get that. Yeah. I've never wanted pictures of anybody ever, but yeah. Huh.
Yeah. So yeah, that was interesting. I think the only other, it was like being a celebrity almost. Because
you're an American, because you're a woman, probably everything, huh?
Probably everything, yeah. Because we're American, because my friend was blonde.
That helps, yeah.
Because neither of us have brown eyes, you know. We went to a restaurant, and we covered ourselves up before we got there so no one would notice us. And then when we got there, my friend took off her head covering, and it was like these young waiters were just, you know, flocking to us. And they,
like, have you heard the special? The special's like, yeah, I got the special.
Yeah,
from,
yeah,
from
exactly.
From the third guy, and then again from the second. No,
yeah.
I know the specials. I don't want the fish.
Yeah, exactly. until, like, finally, this older man ended up being our waiter. He stood by our table and just stood there and made sure that the young man
didn't poach his job, huh?
Well, he was like our bodyguard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, first we saw him yelling at them because they were all standing in the background just watching us eat. And we saw him yelling at them, going, like, gesturing,
get back to work,
go do this. And then
these people are aliens, but whatever, you know.
So he stood, like, it wasn't like encroaching. He was in the background, but he just stood there, and they didn't bother us while he was there.
Well, that was nice of him, I guess.
So. Yeah. So we went back there the second night, and that time I was like, don't take off your head covering.
Yeah, it's like get with it, huh? After the groping, after
yeah. Cover the hair, and we sat in a different section. We sat in the smoking section, and
they got the hookahs and all that stuff.
No.
Or is that okay.
No, just normal cigarettes.
Just normal cigarettes, okay.
And she started complaining that she was hot because she had the head covering on. I was like, do not take that off. They're not even noticing that we're sitting over here, and these are the same waiters from last night.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't, and we had a fine meal, and no one bothered us. And yeah.
Cool. So, how was the food? How was the food the whole trip? I mean, did you have try some interesting things? Did it treat you well? Did you?
It was fine. They don't really have their own cuisine. It was mainly like Greek stuff,
mm-hmm.
like dolmas and things like that. They eat a lot of bread.
Good bread?
No, I'm sure you can get good bread, but the stuff they would give you, like on the train or in the hostel. On the train, we had our bread. Our breakfast was 5 loaves of bread with butter and cheese, and that was it.
Okay.
And my friend is
lactose.
Not lactose. She has celiac disease, so
she can't have the wheat or whatever.
Yeah. So I had brought with me 2 bags of trail mix, and that's basically what she ate whenever they served us bread.
Ah.
But
once again, you're planning ahead. You're being the responsible one.
Yeah. Well, I think she expected it to be a bit more like Tanzania. And it wasn't.
So. Yeah.
And then, of course, trying to get out of the country was interesting. That was, I was 3 hours in the airport, like, standing in lines to go through security. There was a security There was a metal detector right when you get there, and the guy, we waited in line, and the guy wouldn't let us through, and we saw him, like, people bribing him to let them go through and everything, and I thought, I'm not paying to get back into my own country. So finally...
Well, you're not paying to get into your country, you're paying to get the fuck out of their country.
That's true.
And so finally you bribed him and you went, no. Finally it just happened, huh?
Finally he just let us through. I don't know why we couldn't go through when we were there. And then we had to, I had to stand in line for Delta, which was this massive, massive line. And you go through another security check, and then this... You go to up to this guy, and he asks you where you stayed and why you were there, and I couldn't remember the address of the place I had stayed, so he had to look at my pictures to make sure I was there, I guess. And then we had to go through another security check, and then they pat you down, and then they open your bag, and they search through all your things, and then they check your passport one last time before you get on the shuttle to go to the plane.
Well, but the strange thing here is that this plane is that going to be going to New York, or where is this plane going?
Yeah, New York.
So that's a big deal then, yeah. I mean, that's a long flight and to a major city, so yeah, it makes sense, I guess, that they'd be so crazy with it.
Yeah, it was pretty intense. And then, of course, I slept the entire flight, and then when I got off, my legs were swollen.
Swollen from not having enough space, or just from sitting so long.
For sitting so long, yeah. I basically slept the entire flight. It was a 13-hour flight.
Really?
Yeah.
Ouch.
And I was just so tired. So my ankles were swollen until the next day, I think.
So you got to New York and then just jumped up from New York.
From New York, I went to Salt Lake City. Salt Lake City to.
But there was no layover time. You didn't, go see a friend in New York or anything.
No, there wasn't that much layover time. There was, maybe 3 hours in New York.
Have you been in New York?
No.
Well, there you go. You trumped it, huh? You jumped one, went over. Cool. So all in all, was it worth it? Was it an interesting enough experience? You get to say you've done it, kind of. But you never want to go back. You burned your clothes, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I would definitely... Yeah, I don't know if I would go back to Egypt.
I don't know if you'll be able to. I don't know if anybody will,
that's
right?
True.
Yeah, we'll see
true.
What happens
yeah.
here. These guys get their stuff together.
Yeah. I don't know, and I would definitely think twice before going to another Muslim country and definitely go with the mail. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's Malcolm. But you're not Australian, Malcolm. You see, you gotta be Australian. You gotta be all big and Australian.
I didn't say it was big.
Doesn't matter, you know. They live where jellyfish can kill you in 13 seconds. So, you know, chances are those people are brave.
Jellyfish, spider, and snake.
Yeah, exactly. It's a terrible, terrible place. I would never want to go there. Scare the hell out of me. I mean, I'd go there for the adventure of it, sure. I mean, at some point you mentioned the airport thing. I don't even know. I think I might just leave the airport and just start walking west. Be like, you know what? I'll get to the ocean. I'll build a boat. things will. Yeah. I'm gonna get where I'm gonna go.
I think I would have ended up in jail over there or something.
So would you say there's sort of an odd tension because of the traffic, because of the general cultural issues that are going on and everything? Was it just sort of, could you sense that things are gonna go the way that they went? That guy proved to all of us that he's got an old car and that everyone should turn and look at it.
Yes. You did too. You turned.
I turned. Vaguely, yeah.
I don't know. I didn't sense. I guess the only telltale sign was when the policeman came up to talk to us and our guide was like, don't talk to the policeman.
Yeah.
And then they had the yelling match. And there definitely wasn't the sense that you could trust the policeman, ever.
Well, that's got to just be difficult. I mean, my biggest thing about not wanting to travel is the language thing. I mean, it's one thing, you know, the people in the service sector, or, you know, some people are going to, oh, you're American? That's great. I mean, most people hate Americans, who knows what. But they speak English, so you can probably communicate and get around. The question is, you can't really communicate, you can't really know what's going on, and that little paranoia element of myself would be I don't know, I don't want to get, I don't want to get myself in any situation I can't get myself out of.
Yeah. Yeah. interesting.
You were just kind of too dumb to know any better, and you just jumped right in, huh?
Yeah.
And had a little fun, and it's a good thing things worked out for you. Yeah. You got the night train and all that. That was fun.
Yeah. I mean, the guys at the hostel were helpful.
It sounds like, yeah, like the status situation with the hostel was really nice and really useful. I mean, they basically kind of drove you around and showed you the cool stuff and kept you safe.
Yeah, basically. And then when we were in Luxor, we met this Australian couple. We just sort of, when we weren't going on the tour, we just kind of hung out with them.
So where are you going next, huh? What's the next big trip?
Japan.
Oh, nifty. When are you going to do that? When are we going to do that? When are we all going to go to Japan?
In a month, my brother is going to be stationed in Okinawa.
Oh, nice. That's not really Japan. That's basically the United States East.
Yeah.
Well, we might, you know, visit Okinawa, but Japan's the mainland's the more.
Yeah, so you're going to kind of travel. So you're going to go in a month?
Well, no, not in a month.
He's going to be there for 2 years.
Oh, wow. So there'll be some time then, huh?
Yeah.
Nifty.
That's my plan anyway. I want to go to Japan.
Yeah, I'd like to check out some of that. I'd like to go to a lot of places. I just don't know what I would actually do or how exhausted I'd be after like the 15th time just trying to negotiate a simple, you know, get from A to B kind of scenario.
Yeah.
I had enough stress just being in like San Francisco with somebody that knew how the transportation system worked, even though they just changed it that day or something. So like, even if you have a handful of quarters, you can't go anywhere. You need to go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, that was the nice thing about the UK is that they're generally pretty helpful. Like in Ireland, we went from Scotland to Ireland. Scotland, you could put your money in and they'd give you change in your ticket for the bus.
Nice.
And then we go to Ireland and you need to have exact change, and we didn't know that, so this guy just said, oh, I'll pay for you. They paid for us. He told the bus driver they need to get off here. Can you let him know when they need to get off?
Yeah, cool.
I mean, they were nicest
people.
Sounds
like a cool place.
And then you're like, I'll buy you a beer. No, I mean, like, not because you're Irish. Just, you know, to be not.
They probably don't care.
Hopefully they don't, yeah.
They're nice because we're all Celtic.
Ah.
As long as we're not British.
Ah, indeed.
Or English, I should specify.
Yeah.
I suppose.
Yeah.
Then
you're okay.
Then
you're gravy.
Mm-hmm.
So Japan, and then probably somewhere in Europe, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
Those will be some fun trips.
I want to go to Russia.
I want to go to Russia, but they're having a lot of bombs blowing up over in Russia right now. So I think we'll wait on that.
You do the Japan thing. You hop on the Trans-Siberian. Now that would be awesome.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. I'd be down for that train trip.
Yeah. I heard it's quite a trip.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thank you for sharing with us, and it's kind of interesting to hear. I mean, you were there in mid-September, and now here it is only a short 4 or 5 months or so after.
Yeah.
And things are going crazy over there, so.
I know.
You got out when getting was good, I guess.
Yeah.
Got to see that stuff, and then the museum got all smashed up, right? Was that museum?
Yeah. They were protecting it. I don't know if it got smashed up. Did it?
I heard, in the news reports that people have gone in and...
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah,
because
really.
Last I heard there were people trying to barricade them.
I'm sure that they've hopefully gotten that dealt with now, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks.